Hi everyone, here we are again with another in the series of Meet the Flockers. In this episode we will be going deep with another presentation into the World Economic Forum. This time we'll be covering the World Economic Forum's governing board of directors. We will get entangled into the spider's web of deceit and see who these people are and who they work for. What fascinates me when I start this line of research is that I start with a blank sheet of paper, so to speak, and a month or so later, I have about 20,000 words and hours worth of evidence of a conspiracy so large, it makes the JFK assassination look like a normal day at the office. Another thing that's fascinating and so obvious when we put our they live glasses on is that the same things are playing out over and over again, generation after generation. All seemingly run by the same controlling bloodlines and families. Some of the people we'll cover today run huge organisations like Nestle, Siemens and Salesforce. They also work for global NGOs that push the Fourth Reich Industrial Revolution right under our noses. Many are members, indeed board members, of the Bilderbergers, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Chatham House, Aspen Institute and many, many more. Sir Klaus Schwab is the frontman. He's not the power source, a bit like Bill Gates. And these individuals are the ones who are pushing the narrative behind the scenes. The narrative is that it's for humanity's best interests, without telling us what our best interests really are. Or, it's we're doing this to protect the Earth, and all the time they're contradicting what they say. This will be broken down into at least two podcasts. As always, we will only use mainstream information that's in the public domain. These are not our opinions, and it's only when we see the mosaic of information together that we realise the extent of the deception. Just who are these flockers? All right, welcome to another in the series of Meet the Flockers, a series of exposés. And here we are with another World Economic Forum presentation. And in this presentation, I'm going to call it the Machiavellian Parasite. The research will identify some of the leading characters connected with the World Economic Forum Board of Directors and Sir Klaus Schwab's past and present history. With me tonight, as usual, is our Chris.
Good evening.
He's just been holding up this bottle of red, trying to interrupt me while I was doing the intro.
No, I was just saying I've got a bottle of red here, just so you know.
Right.
Apulian.
What time is it?
Diva.
It's 7:30, so you can't open it till 8, apparently.
No, 7:30 is the start time. I'm going to wait a bit anyway. No, fuck that, I'm going to open it now.
7:30 is the witching hour.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't done one of these for a while.
No, we haven't done a Meet the Flockers for a while. I've sort of missed them, to be honest with you, because as you know, I like the deep in-depth detail of these. I also like the other side, where we're doing a nice, relaxed, detailed chat. So I like all of them. I like the interviews as well. But I certainly like Meet the Flockers because the characters you uncover and the chain of evidence you find when you're doing the research and the spider's web it sort of entangles you in is very interesting, to say the least.
Well, I like doing them. I find them a little bit hard work sometimes, yeah. But even though I don't do anything. But I think they're necessary because this stuff needs to be kind of documented in some form, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. It needs to be out there. I look at these as like a docu-podcast. And I think when we do a bit of work on the website, we'll see that when you've got a World Economic Forum...
Section. Sort of
pardon?
Like a section.
Of World Economic Forum. You'll see it all together. And all the hours of research and recording hours that we've put in, that's been put into it to document all these people.
I've asked a couple of people if they've heard of it. I've never even occurred to me to do it before.
Yeah.
A couple of people, if they've heard of World Economic Forum, they haven't even heard of them. I mean, I'm not saying like they haven't even heard of them, like, you know, like a geek sniff.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah.
And I was explaining it to my missus the other day. She didn't really know. She didn't really understand. She'd heard me wang on about it a little bit, but when I actually showed her a bit of a thing on YouTube, It was a guy explaining. In fact, he was on GB News. Did you see that? That weird priest guy. I'll send it to you. No. I forgot to send it to you. They had like him explaining all that. He was saying, this isn't a conspiracy, right? But the World Economic Forum did this, this, this. And he showed a clip of Schwab and everything. But it were like they were, it were almost like it was too out there in the open now.
It was softening the blow.
But he's the weirdest looking preacher you've ever seen. It's like a priest guy on GB News. Massive afro. And
I have seen him. I did see him. I did see him. Yeah.
I can't say I only trust him, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know who the guy is, but I did watch it.
No, I don't
and
know.
What he was saying was right.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was all exactly right. But it was basically what conspiratorial discussions have been over the last couple of years. Yeah. And he was just saying this is true, this is true.
Well, odd, isn't it? I look into this, obviously the deeper you get into it, the more encrusted you see with that all these things are connected with not just the World Economic Forum, but you've got the Nuclear Threat Initiative, the Munich conference that we talked about with monkeypox. You've got the Aspen Institute, you've got the Atlantic Council, then you've got the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Chatham House. All these things are all intertwined, and most of them are similar people that are involved in all of them. Then you look at the corporate picture, and you see that all of the people that are involved in these corporate businesses are all part of these groups as well. And then they're all, a lot of them are part of these fraternities, secret fraternities within universities. So you can't say that there is no link there, because there is.
Then you've got I was watching a documentary the other day, today and yesterday, about the Jesuits.
Yeah.
You've got all that crap going on as well.
We've got all that going on. And we mentioned
Church,
that.
Royalties, you've got all that stuff.
Well, you've got that.
Is that the surface con, or is that, you know?
Well, all the bloodlines there that we've mentioned before. And also, you've got all the intelligence services that are all of them are part of this group as well. So, not the CIA, Mossad, MI6, MI5, all of them in every country.
Whether they know it or not. I mean, most of them won't even know, will they?
Do all these people in the World Economic Forum think they're doing bad things?
No.
Probably I don't believe that.
No.
I think some of them think they're doing the right things for humanity.
Yeah. Even if there has to be a couple of us goyim who perish.
Yes.
And then there'll be other ones who probably really don't care.
Yeah. Well, again, that's why I call it the Machiavellian parasite, and we'll come on to that in a bit, but it doesn't take many to start a riot.
No.
So if you've got 1,000 people and 2 or 3 start throwing rocks, hitting a few people on the head, there's going to be trouble at some point. You only need 2 people to do that. And the World Economic Forum reminds me of the cesspit of all this. They get bright young hopefuls in, they get business leaders in, they get people who can be easily cajoled and promised big things. If they just do this one thing, if you just pass this message on the Great Reset, if you just do this. And so then thousands of people start saying, Build Back Better, the Great Reset.
Yeah.
And they don't really know what they're getting into until it's too late.
Well, and then it's said on TV, and then people repeat it in the pub and at work. And and it's there then, isn't it? The spell's cast, isn't it?
Ingrained.
It reminds me of that, what is it? You know those when you see in films, there's Roman Senate. They're all stood around in the gowns in that little semicircle, talking about who's going to be in power and how they keep the mob down from kicking off against them.
Yeah.
Because one of their main concerns, whether it's real or not, is that the mob were going to turn on them.
Yeah.
So all the decisions they make, you know, and where the mob out were.
Yeah. And most of these people have been in the Bilderbergers, you know, and there seems to be a direct link back to that. Not just politicians, like business leaders, et cetera, et cetera. And academics, as we've seen throughout the nonsense that we've just lived through, academics have been infiltrated by the parasite as well. And
look how the parasite has got to the doctors.
Yes, yes. So
best example.
Best example.
Yeah.
Right then, let's move on. So most of these entities are not famous, so most of them go under the radar. They're invisible to the public eye, but they run huge companies or sit on boards of global conglomerates. These people we're talking about are the board members and the steering committee of the World Economic Forum. And what, this is who we're talking about tonight. But they run NGOs as well and think tanks, and they're promoting the nonsense we're witnessing today, all of them. Not one of them come out and say, I was a member at World Economic Forum and I don't really agree on what they're doing. Here's a few names. Professor Gergen, you probably won't have heard of him.
No.
Joseph Samuel Nye Jr. Ted Turner III. Have you heard of him?
Ted Turner, yeah.
Yeah, heard of Ted Turner. US Senator third, Sam...
Is that a different guy?
No, same guy. Sam Nunn. Leslie Wexner. Has anybody heard of all these people?
No.
Some of them maybe, but not all of them. And that's it. These people are part of the institutions, part of the parasite energy. They don't know it. Some of them, I'm sure, don't know, but most of them do know. And whether it's too late. Do you know what it reminds me of, Chris? Do you know, I didn't want a good film, but can you remember that Tom Cruise film when he was working for them? That legal company.
The Firm. What we call it?
The Firm. And who is it? We're playing the bad guy.
Gene Hackman.
He knew what was going on. Yeah. And he accepted he was going to get killed.
Right.
Because he went against them.
Very well. He went against the machine.
And that's what these characters remind me of.
Yeah.
People that know if they go against the machine, they're just going to get destroyed.
Whether it's physically or financially or whatever.
And what about NGOs like the Aspen Institute for Humanistic Studies? Or the Nuclear Threat Initiative, or the Atlantic Council. I mean, we spoke about one of these the other day, the Aspen Institute. Mm. But there are loads of these institutes and foundations that you come across in your research that you've never heard of. You don't know who run them. And we start looking into them, we think, well, that's who does that? Who funds this? It's like Wikipedia, James Wales. He was a young global leader, surprisingly enough, in 2007. So was his wife.
The Wikipedia guy?
The Wikipedia guy, the founder. Although, like most things, there's more than always one founder, and there's always only one person that rises to the top, it seems. And the other ones get put behind, which we'll come to later. But then when you start looking into the background of Wikipedia and start seeing what it does, so it collects data. As soon as something collects data and it's free, you question it, don't you? You know, then you look at who funds it, and a lot of these big venture capitalist companies have put money into it. A lot of these NGOs have put money into it. So why? You know, why? Well, those people and the NGOs they represent, and many more, are all linked to the World Economic Forum. And the World Economic Forum is linked to those NGOs and foundations and corporate businesses in some way as well. It's like a big spider's web. There are also people we've heard of, like Hungarian-American George Soros and his Open Society Foundations, which directly fund the World Economic Forum and many of the other think tanks, charity foundations, and other NGOs that are changing the fabric of society, like Black Lives Matter. Forbes called Soros the most generous giver in terms of percentage net worth. Right. And how they work that out is that he's got this foundation, it's an investment foundation, and he's a giver. Now I think, how's that work? Because they always start off with X, and it never goes down, it always seems to go up. And yet, they're a giver.
Yeah. Like certain pharmaceutical companies giving away certain things for non-profit, but then turn over more than they've ever turned over ever before.
Yeah, make more profit than they've ever turned over before.
Yeah.
But
it's one thing we didn't notice with these foundations that you're talking about, that they always give some like elusive spiel about what they do, and they're always non-profit.
Always. Well, Soros, as of March 2021, had a personal net worth of $8.6 billion. Interestingly, was born to a non-observant Jewish family in Budapest. He survived the Nazi occupation of Hungary, which is quite surprising, and moved to the UK in 1947. He studied at the London School of Economics. That's where Pierre Trudeau studied as well. In fact, if you look up the Wikipedia page, look up the famous alumni of London School of Economics, and the list is huge. Prime ministers from all over the world, presidents from all over the world, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Vice presidents, leading politicians, leading academics, leading lawyers, etc., etc. All of them at the London School of Economics. So they're teaching the world. So it's not just the World Economic Forum. These universities are spreading the word, and these people are going out into the world. And then they're going to the World Economic Forum. And that was in 1940s, Chris. That's how long they've been at this, whatever planet is. And just like the Harvard Business School where Schwab went, that's what it reminds me of in the 60s. That's what the London Economics, School of Economics is. It's like the Harvard Business School. So I wonder, Soros' story also sounds familiar with Robert Maxwell's story. And I do wonder if Soros is a security services asset. Because Soros began his career by taking various jobs at merchant banks in the UK and then the US before starting his first hedge fund called Double Eagle in 1969. Yeah.
I think the Double Eagle, you know, the double-headed eagle is, I might have this right or wrong, I think it's one of the most ancient symbols ever seen. You know, it's on everything, you know, like literally on cave what I think Russia's flag got a double eagle on it, double-headed eagle on it.
No.
That symbol of a double-headed eagle anyway is it's an ancient symbol. And I don't think anyone really knows what it means either.
Right. Well, I know Masonic, aren't they? The Masonic, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, the Masonic symbols. And so it was renamed the Quantum Fund. And that's his principal investment firm. What I will say is that Soros worked for Arnold and S. Breckroder, which was a New York-based investment bank. The banking firm of S. Breckroder, founded by Samuel Breckroder in 1803 in Berlin, whose bank maintained close contacts with the Rothschild family, acting as a branch office in Berlin of the Rothschild Bank. We'll do more on Soros later on in this, where I go a little bit deeper. But it's just a taster, really, to show that the links back and forth always seem to go back. If they haven't got the bloodline, they've worked with the right people. If they haven't worked with the right people, they've got some intelligence links. If they haven't done that, there's a religious element to it, or all of them. There's always something that links back to these secret group-controlling groups. Al Gore is a member of the board. Now, Soros isn't a member of the board, but Al Gore is. Soros is a funder. But Al Gore, Mr. Hockey Stick himself, is linked back to the World Economic Forum. He sits on the board of governors. And these entities epitomize the Schwabian agenda. They are the Machiavellian parasites. There is no doubt that the World Economic Forum has dominated my research this year, and our podcast. The question is why? Well, firstly, it was Chris's fault because he sent me that video in February.
What?
Schwab being interviewed. Sure, the World Economic Forum is an all-encompassing octopus, and the podcasts we've done so far serve to draw attention to it and a few of the people involved. These people are not necessarily from elite bloodlines. Some are, but most are academics and business people. But they are definitely connected. Some are upper management, some are mid-management. Some are just finding their feet, in the echelons of the New World Order. It is a very compartmentalized system. I'm sure some of them think they're working for good, and others know full well what they're doing. And it doesn't take many of them to steer the narrative. I'm going to play that video that you sent me. Well, I won't play the video, I'll play the audio now. And just so you can listen to the interviewer and Klaus Schwab, because the interviewer is who we're going to go into detail on next.
Thank you, Klaus. We are definitely privileged and thankful that you've come back. And we want to thank you not only for what you've done for this school, but what you've done for the world. You've devoted your life to making the world a better place, something which goes to the heart of what the Kennedy School is all about. It's been striking to us as we've had the pleasure, and this goes back to Dean Elwood, that when you brought the Young Global Leaders Program here for executive education and the Schwab Fellows, but there are two countries in the world now in which the Young Global Leaders have emerged. Tell us just a bit about that and in terms of the governance.
Yes, actually, this notion to integrate young leaders is part of the World Economic Forum since many years. And I have to say, when I mention now names like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I'm here with the president, with a young global leader, but we, in addition to the young global leaders, we have now the global shapers in 450 cities around the world. I just wonder, is there any global shaper here? You see global shapers here.
So that interview there answered so many questions for a lot of us, I think, and showed us what's happened. And it's too late now because it's already happened. Mm. He's already, that was in 2017, I believe. So he'd already infiltrated the cabinets.
Right. Yeah.
In 2017.
If you couple that discussion with that one where he's talking to the Pfizer guy about how we need to ramp up it. I mean, are we dealing with these guys are like Spectre from James Bond, basically, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you know in James Bond films, right, where the bad guys are always out in the open, businessmen, you know, and only it's only James Bond and MI6 that know they're actually bad guys. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they're just right in front of you, telling you what they're doing.
And yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're literally telling you on those interviews, they're explaining
on the dot,
it.
Yeah.
On the nose, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Where's James Bond?
But, yeah, he doesn't exist, and he don't work for us anyway. If he did,
well, he works for them, doesn't he?
That interview was recorded at the John F. Kennedy Harvard Business School, where Schwab met and was mentored by Sir Henry Kissinger in the 1960s, as we explained in the Schwab podcast. In past Swabian Agenda podcasts, I researched into the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders. That was in the Swabian Agenda Sleepers podcast. And we made presentations about the individuals who were young global leaders, like Canadian Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland, which she makes my skin crawl, and current Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, where we did two podcasts on him, actually about 7 hours worth of information. I'm going to do another one after this. It's a revamped one because we did an edited version on Rise Above about the tech nerds who were young global leaders in the 1990s and 2000s, who have gone on then to lead the data collection businesses that now are controlling his lives. YouTube, Facebook, Google, Salesforce, Amazon, etc., etc., and Wikipedia. All of them, all of the founders were Young Global leaders at one point. And not only that, several other people in the business were Young Global leaders as well. In total, you know, I added up, Chris, before we start this one, we've done over 15 hours worth of docu-podcasts connected to the World Economic Forum. And I reckon we've probably got two presentations left because there's some other stuff I want to move on to. But we've got this one, which I reckon will be at least 3 hours. But I reckon we'll do the tech nerds again. And I think that'll be it. In this episode, we're going to be covering the World Economic Forum Leadership and Governance, known as the Board of Trustees and its Executive Committee. I'm calling this episode the Schwabian Agenda, Machiavellian Parasites. What I want to do in this presentation is shine a light on the people I'm calling Machiavellian parasites. Why? Because like all good Machiavellians, they say one thing, like the Pfizer guy, but mean another. They are duplicitous, cunning, scheming, unscrupulous, deceptive, distrusting, manipulative. They are characterized by being cynical and misanthropic, which is a negative attitude towards humanity that's based on a negative judgment concerning mankind's flaws. This makes them callous towards us in their strife for money, power, and status. Mm. And that's not a bad way of looking at it, is it?
No.
Many names spring to mind when I hear that explanation. Ardern, Johnson, Trump, Trudeau. In UK politics, we've got Truss, Sunak, Javid, Patel, Keir Starmer, Tony Blair. You could go on and on. Gordon Brown, Thatcher, Heseltine, all these people that make decisions in British politics that with a wipe of a pen causes thousands to either go into trauma or die.
You know, in the world of politics, there's a few that I kind of thought were all right, but they just seem to get destroyed, don't they? But are they all right, or is it just another part of a stage show fire?
Well,
for instance, Ken Livingstone. I always thought he was all right. He was mayor of London. He was quite vocal about stuff. And he got ousted, didn't he, as being an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
And then when they asked him to apologise, he refused to get back into Labour. Was that real? I don't know. Or was it some kind of stage show? I don't know. But it just seems like those like him, and who was the other Labour guy? The guy with the beard?
Cook.
No. You know, the guy who always wore loafers and stuff. Corbyn, yeah. I thought he seemed all right. But is it just the stage show? I don't know. I don't trust any of them, but...
Well, whether you trust
why do they get ousted as being anti-Semite? Who's anti-Semite these days? No one cares.
Yeah. I think Corbyn were left alone because they knew we were never going to get into power.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter, did it? He did the job for him.
Yeah.
Whether they were real or not is irrelevant.
There is that in there. I suppose, say they are real, you've just got people pushing those little chess pieces around somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In business, we've got people like Richard Branson, Mark Carney, George Soros and his sons, who were part of the Young Global Leaders, and Sir Bill Gates. I could go on and on, you know, Elon Musk, et cetera, et cetera. All part of the Young Global Leaders. They've all been there. They've all been part of the Young Global Leaders or the World Economic Forum in one way or another, and all say have our best interests at heart. And are all Machiavellian parasites.
Yeah.
Because none of them have our best interests at heart.
Yeah. But it's all sold us to save our pain and make our lives easier, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. In this episode, we'll go into detail about some of these individuals, not all of them, because there's too many, involved in setting up and delivering the plans for the Great Reset, known as the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or more like the Fourth Reich Industrial Revolution.
Hmm.
There are far too many individuals to go into in this presentation, and I'll name a few of them further on, but their antics have far-reaching consequences for the future of the human race. We seem to be heading backwards, not forwards. And maybe back to the 1930s, where the late 20s, when the crash happened with poverty and war. And I think if they get their way, in just a few generations, babies will be microchipped at birth.
Yeah.
Babies will be born in artificial wombs.
Hmm.
All spoken about on the World Economic Forum platform.
Yeah.
AI will run everything. Water will be rationed. There will be less people. That's happening anyway. We spoke about that before. Humans will be an outdated model, and we humans will own nothing and be happy. Because people are happy now, doing nothing, clapping on the doorstep. The World Economic Forum stands for all of this and much more. I had a look at their website, and there's a part of their website, and it shows sort of what sort of projects they're looking into. And there were so many, Chris, smart cities, drugs. There were like 100 different areas, yeah, what they're looking into. It's just an all-encompassing monster. The spider's web of webs runs deeply through the World Economic Forum, with many intertwined organizations under the World Economic Forum banner, containing thousands of staff. It takes some effort, you know, to do what they're doing. And forward planning. Bear in mind, this was set up in the late 60s. Many of these people are internationalists. They're members of the UN, World Health Organization, governments, parliaments, NGOs, secret groups like the Bilderbergers, Trilaterals, CFR, and board members of huge global businesses. All of these entities have vested interests in the fourth great reset, whatever you want to call it, industrial reset, whatever that means. Then it's not a reset, is it? They just decided to live life differently.
It's a replan. I think in the scheme of what their plan is, it's fine, what they want, right? If you think all the inventions that they needed have been in, I'm making this up, by the way, but say that their vision is this, all the inventions that they needed have been invented. And I know he's going about flying cars, but things like that, and that robot dog with a machine gun on it, all these things have been invented. All technology is to a point where they need it. So they get rid of most of us goyim, and they just sit pretty. We're getting fettered around by automatic flying cars. They've got, do you know what I mean? You can almost see it, can't you? You can see. And the millions of the people that are left are oblivious to it. And it doesn't matter if they're not, because so they wouldn't even need that much military and stuff to control if there's less people. They just have them doing these mundane jobs.
But they're putting so much effort into this planning, and they've pressed the button on the plan now, as in the next part of the plan. And they can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, as you say.
No.
You know, it's too late now. They've shown the hand. The hand is so obvious.
Wouldn't you love to see the actual plans and listen to some of them conversations behind closed doors?
Yeah.
As to where they actually see it going, and the time scales and things like that.
Well, like you say, it's Spectre, isn't it? That's what it feels like Hydra.
And it was interesting when you said after Second World War. So that was one plan. That was probably up to that point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They achieved that, and then let's go into phase two or three after first, Second World War.
Well, if the plan was to reduce population or give them some sort of massive trauma, I think the First World War didn't work how they thought it was going to. I think getting rid of all the males of that age, they thought was going to reduce population because there were going to be less males around. And it probably didn't do it, so they had to have the Second World War. And they realised that didn't work either. Yeah. So now they've had to come up with a different plan.
It probably did do it, Fire. And that was just, they needed two and then another version, you know, down the line, just to give it that roundhouse kick, as we say.
Yeah. So we're going to look at some people who are in Klaus Schwab's life and are part of the World Economic Forum Board of Directors, but not necessarily just the Board of Directors of the World Economic Forum. There's many spin-offs, like there's a Board of Directors of the Young Global Leaders, there's a board of directors of the Schwab Foundation. So all these people are getting paid by all these billion-dollar corporates that are funding the World Economic Forum. And these seem to be the promises that's coming back to these people. You're going to be successful in your business and you're going to have a job for life. Or necessarily a job, a career.
Hand me your soul over, please.
Yes, hand me your soul over. And your arsehole.
Design that in whatever.
So the guy who was talking on that Schwab interview at the Harvard Business School, that interview went on for about, I think, an hour, but we've only played a few minutes of that. He was called David Richmond Gergen, G-E-R-G-E-N. In that video from the Harvard Business School, named after John F. Kennedy, Gergen, you'll find, is another very important chess piece for the parasite New World Order, and has been since the 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Right.
So for a long time.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, never heard of him. Interestingly, Gergen is currently a senior political analyst for CNN. And I mentioned Ted Turner. Well, Ted Turner started CNN.
Right. Well, is that where he is? Another name. He's a media guy, is he?
Yeah, he's a media guy. He set up Turner Broadcasting, where he does them like a film channel, doesn't he? Television producer, media proprietor, philanthropist. Right, they're all philanthropists.
Yeah.
He founded the Cable News Network, the first 24-hour cable news channel.
Ah, right.
In addition, he founded WTBS, which pioneered the superstation concept in cable television, which later became TBS. TBS, or Turner Broadcasting System, Inc., was an American television and media conglomerate. As of April 2022, its assets are now owned by Warner Bros. CNN revolutionized news media, covering Space Shuttle Challenger disaster in 1986 and the Persian Gulf War in 1991. I'd say 9/11 as well.
That was the beginning of rolling news, wasn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
Where you just got constant news, 24. We got it years later, didn't we?
Yeah. And the reason I'm mentioning him is because David Gergen obviously works for CNN. And the links back to all these people. He's a director of the Schwab Foundation, is David Gergen. And he's interviewing him at Harvard Business School, where he's a professor. And Schwab went in the 60s to Harvard Business School and worked under Henry Kissinger. Hmm. Ted Turner became a member of Kappa Sigma, commonly known as Kappa Sig, which is a social secret fraternity founded at the University of Virginia in 1869. Kappa Sig is one of the five largest international fraternities with 318 active chapters and colonies in North America. Again, these people are linked. In 2010, Turner joined Buffett's and Gates' Giving Pledge, vowing to donate the majority of his fortune to charity upon his death.
Which charity?
Nonsense. The United Nations Foundation is a charitable organization headquartered in Washington that supports the United Nations and its activities. It was established in 1998 with a $1 billion gift to the United Nations by philanthropist Ted Turner, who believed that the UN was crucial for addressing the world's problems and giving him news stories. The UN addressed issues such as global climate warming change, global health, gender equality, human rights, data, technology, peace, and humanitarian responses. So he's giving that away, $1 billion, to the UN. Ian, is it?
No.
In 2019, the World Economic Forum and the UN signed Strategic Partnership Framework. The partnership identifies six areas of focus, financing the 2030 agenda, They're even calling it 2030 agenda. Climate change, health, digital cooperation, gender equality, empowerment of women, education and skills. So
digital cooperation, what does that mean?
I know.
Doing as you're told on the internet, basically.
Yeah, it's just another one of those phrases that means something totally different. Again, it's Machiavellian, the Machiavellian words. Ted Turner was also the founder of an NGO called the Nuclear Threat Initiative, which he founded in 2001 with former US Senator Sam Nunn. Sam Nunn was a leading participant in Dark Winter 2001. On another side note, Nunn attended Georgia Tech in 1956, where he was initiated as a brother into the Phi Delta Theta, commonly known as the Phi Delta, spelled P-H-I Delta, which is an international secret and social fraternity founded at Miami University in 1848. Astronaut Neil Armstrong was also a member of the Phi Delta, as were two other NASA astronauts. Nunn also serves as chairman of the Board of Trustees for the Center of Strategic and International Studies. Gergen also works for them. Yeah. So the CSIS is another think tank, home once to Sir Henry Kissinger and Senator John McCain. Incidentally, McCain's grandfather, John Sidney Slew McCain Jr., was a United States Navy admiral, as was McCain's dad. His grandfather was the son and namesake of a plantation owner. And what do you know? Grandfather McCain was also a member of the same secret society, Phi Delta Theta, the international secret social fraternity. So all these people are intertwined. Some are Democrats, some are Republicans, but they're all intertwined. He was also honoured by the British monarchy and given a Knight Commander of the British Order, or an OBE. So these are Americans being honoured by Her Majesty the Head Parasite. Sam Nunn, and again, we're going away a little bit from the World Economic Forum, but what I want to show here is that all these secret groups or NGOs are all part of, have all got same people working within them and work for these corporations as well. Sam Nunn is married to Colleen Nunn. They first met the US Embassy in Paris while she was working for the CIA. They have two children, Mary Michelle Nunn, who's a philanthropic executive and politician. And since 2015, she's been president and CEO of CARE USA, the American national member of CARE International, the humanitarian aid and international development agency. This NGO is chaired by Arielle de Rothschild, who is also managing director of Rothschild & Co. Mary Michelle Nunn was CEO of another NGO called Point of Light, an American non-profit organization founded by George H.W. Bush.
Do you remember that speech he did when he was on about Point of Light?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Weird speech, though. It was weird, wasn't it? Do you remember?
Sam Nunn is a retired partner in law firm King & Spalding. King & Spalding handles ex-President Trump's property portfolio. He was also a board member of the Coca-Cola Company. Sam Nunn was part of Dark Winter. The NTI that he set up ran the 2021 monkeypox simulation, and in 2019 he was part of a spreading plague, another pandemic planning exercise. Nunn is a Bilderberger. He's a member of the Aspen Strategy Group, Atlantic Council, Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs, Center for Strategic and International Studies, and he's on the board and staff, and he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Along with US Senator Sam Nunn, Schwab's interviewer, Harvard professor David Gergen, was also a part of Dark Winter in 2001. The NTI funded the 2021 monkeypox tabletop exercise, as I just said, simulating how the world would react to an outbreak of monkeypox. The event was planned by the Nuclear Threat Initiative, held at the Munich Security Conference, in cooperation with the World Health Organization and Sir Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The Nuclear Threat Initiative is a non-profit NGO that was founded by Ted Turner and Sam Nunn. The Munich Security Conference is an annual meeting on international security and policy held in Bavaria, Germany, since 1963, where probably the leading parasite came from. In a video produced for the exercise, a news reporter describes a monkeypox virus engineered by biological terrorists to resist jib jabs.
Right, didn't know that.
So that's part of that exercise.
Right, does that mean, are we going to be biological terrorists then?
Maybe. This is how the parasite works. It works, it forms links within links, weaving its way into the fabric of life. Rockefeller fronts Kissinger. He's mentor to Schwab at Harvard Business School in the 60s. Schwab is interviewed by Professor Gergen. Schwab sets up the World Economic Forum. And 50 years later, Schwab says that the World Economic Forum, he has infiltrated the governments around the world. And Professor Gergen works for CNN to pump out the nonsense.
It almost sounds like some kind of secret club or conspiracy, that fact.
wheels within wheels, Chris, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, back to David Gergen. He's a professor of public service and founding director of the Center for Public Leadership, because we need leadership, Chris. We're useless. At the Harvard Kennedy School. The CPL, or Center for Public Leadership, is another think tank. We need these think tanks to solve everything, Chris.
I know. There's tanks thinking along everywhere.
Yeah. the rusty tanks. It's an academic research center at Harvard University that provides teaching, research, and training in practical skills of leadership for people in government and NGOs and charities and businesses. The CPL was established in 2000 through a gift from the Wexner Foundation. The Wexner Foundation focuses on development of Jewish professional and volunteer leaders in North America and public leaders in Israel. Founded by Leslie Wexner and his wife, Abigail Wexner. Isn't that nice? Wexner is CEO of Limited Brands, also known as Bath and Body Works Incorporated, valued at the moment at $8.79 billion. They're headquartered in Ohio, with additional offices in New York and Jerusalem. Leslie Wexner is a billionaire businessman. The Limited is a clothing retailer with a restricted selection of items, and it later expanded its holdings to include Victoria's Secret, Abercrombie & Fitch, Express International, Incorporated, and Bath & Body Works. Now, what I will say, Abercrombie & Fitch was one of those companies that sprung up in the 90s.
Is that the clothes?
Yeah. That you would say was a unisex brand.
Yeah. Kind of like Posh Gap.
Well, more than that, Chris, you could even say it was like the blokes who were modelling looked like girls and the girls looked like...
Jesus.
Well, no, it was like a blend of the two.
Non-binary human beings, kind of.
Yes. And I would say that Abercrombie & Fitch, I don't know much about Victoria's Secret, or the other brands.
I'd be worried if you did.
Yeah.
Is it still going at Abercrombie & Fitch?
Yeah.
No, just funny, because it's funny. There was an entire Netflix documentary about that. So I didn't watch it all, just saying I saw it on Netflix.
Well, as soon as it's on Bernays Flicks.
Yeah, it's on Propaganda Flicks, so... They were. That's just an advert for it, basically. That's why I was asking if they're still going. Just quickly, going back to that 106 Center for Public Leadership. So it says it's an academic research center at Harvard that provides teaching, research, and training in practical skills of leadership. What are they training them then? Is that where they actually?
Well, I think all these like think
the real plan. Tell them the real plan. I mean, fair. Because well, I mean, they're not teaching them to be nice, are they?
I'll run a scenario. My missus worked in banking, as you know, and they were taught and trained what told what fiat currency was, and taught really right that it was basically somebody put 500 quid in a bank, and you could lend that out 9 times.
They actually really taught them that.
Well, they actually told them that, right? But among all the other training, nobody actually put two and two together and thought, oh, that's a bullshit way of doing. Yeah, that doesn't sound right. It was only when I explained it to her, she went, yeah, we were taught that when I first got into banking.
Because, I mean, that were like one of the early conspiracies I ever learned was the monetary system.
Yeah. So
and it's,
what do they learn? That is a subtle way of, it's a bit like these academics. A lot of these academics, even those that are speaking out, are still saying, you know, I'm not saying they want something going round, something was happening, but they're still saying it's a virus in the pretty standard way people think of a virus, which could be totally something else. But because their thinking is that it's a virus, they don't question how they were taught. So the information they were given when they were taught could be biased in some way, shape or form. And they could have been taught and infected, if you like, with information that wasn't correct, that they believe is correct.
To be honest, Tom, it is a virus, no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
It infiltrated society and humanity and spread all over the world. So it was a virus, wasn't it? Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
No matter, so forget any opinion on anything. It did what a big V does.
Yes. So this Herbert Leslie Wexner, Johnny Vedmore mentioned him on our interview, actually. I'd like him to come on and do a bit more on him.
Yes, I remember him mentioning him.
Yeah. Well, Wexner hired Jeffrey Epstein as his financial manager in the 1980s and continuing all the way through to 2007.
Right.
So this is where it gets a bit...
I think he'd had his first conviction by 2007, had he?
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Wexner had a very close relationship with Epstein that began in the 80s and continued up until Epstein's death. Wexner was the main client of Epstein's money management firm. Bear in mind, Epstein was a teacher, then he was set on as an investment manager.
What kind of teacher?
School teacher.
Right. I didn't know that.
So,
teaching my kids.
Yeah. So Wexner allowed Epstein to run his businesses out of a house he owned and resided in whilst CEO of Victoria's Secret. So he has been linked to the Epstein affair with exposures that claimed Epstein misappropriated funds and used them. I heard a story, and I think it was him talking about it, that he'd stolen upwards of $400 million off him. Now, whether he stole it off him or whether it were part of some sort of fund or not, I don't know. But it didn't stop President Bush, George W., appointing Wexner to serve as the honorary delegation to accompany him to Jerusalem for the celebration of the 60th anniversary of the State of Israel in 2008.
Nice party.
Yeah. The Harvard Kennedy School, officially known as the John F. Kennedy School of Government, even that's a joke, as of 2021, has an endowment of $1.7 billion. The school is a member of the Association of Professional Schools of International Affairs, a global consortium of schools that seek to train leaders in international affairs. Harvard's Kennedy School alumni include 17 heads of state or government, the most of any graduate institution in the world. The alumni also include cabinet officials, military leaders, heads of central banks and legislators, etc., etc., etc. The school was founded in 1936 with a $2 million gift, equivalent to $30 million in 2010, from Lucius Litauer, a Lithuanian Jew. For more on the Leslie Wexner and the Wexner Foundation, please read Whitney Webb's fantastic expose of him and the Wexner Foundation, and the links to the World Economic Forum and Harvard Business School. Whitney Webb is Johnny Vedmore's other half.
I knew her on M5. She's been interviewed on My Side Chats, actually.
Yeah, she's very good. Very good. Anyway, back to the guy interviewing Schwab. We seem to be going off on some tangents here, but anyway, it's all good information.
Well, I think that Gergen is quite important, the guy interviewing Schwab as well.
Yeah, I do as well, because that was put out there for a reason, Chris. That didn't happen by accident. We have infiltrated every government.
Yeah, right in your face, just like the Pfizer guy.
Just like the Pfizer guy. The Gergen name is of Anglo-Saxon origin and comes from the baptismal name German. The surname Gergen refers to the son of German, which belongs to the category of patronymic surnames. Patronymic surname is a surname originated from the given name of a father or patrilineal ancestor, i.e. John or John German. John Johnson would be an ideal son of John.
Well, we're Watson. We were obviously sons of something to do with water.
Yes.
Carrying water around some sugar.
David Gergen is the son of an American mathematician who introduced the Lebesgue-Gergen criterion for convergence of a Fourier series. Now, I haven't a clue what that is. Do not ask me. The Fourier series has many applications, apparently, in electrical engineering, vibration analysis, acoustics, optics, signal processing, image processing, quantum mechanics. Anyway, there you go. And shell theory. Fourier series is broadly used in telecom systems for modulation and demodulation voice signals. He was called John J. Gergen. It might be Jergen. I don't know, but I'm pronouncing it Gergen. And he went to the University of Minnesota in 1925. And he got a PhD from Rice University. Rice University is a private research university in Houston, Texas. Ironically, the university's logo is three owls. And its motto is letters, science, art, and unconventional wisdom. And has an endowment of $8.10 billion. That's in 2021. Founded by William Rice after from his will. According to a biographer, Andrew F. Muir, of the Texas State Historical Association, Rice was an odd fellow. And an odd fellow is an international secret fraternity. And he was a Mason, hence the three owl logos. John J. Gergen had four sons. John Andrew Gergen, a neurologist. Stephen Lermon, who I think was a psychologist, but anyway. David Richmond Gergen, who we're talking about now. And Swarthmore College psychology professor Kenneth J. Gergen. Kenneth J. Gergen is married to Mary Gergen, professor at Penn State University and a major contributor to the Feminist Psychology and Performance Inquiry. So they're all of them up there from the fathers on the way down. She worked for 4 years as a psychological consultant for AT&T.
I will die.